Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Walking on the Sidewalk. I am your host, psychic medium Kevin Baird. It's another day in paradise. Here it is, January 31st, 2014, at about 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. Yes, just another day in paradise, and that we got a big blasting storm coming up, and it's going to be crazy, crazy, crazy. So we're all just settling in. We've got our bread, our milk, our toilet paper, and we're waiting for it to hit. Meanwhile, we can hang out at home and see what's going on with everybody online and everything else. And speaking of that, I want to pick up the first caller. out there in the call queue. Hi, hello, how are you? You are hearing your microphone becoming unmuted. How can I help you? And just lost the caller. They seem to drop off. Give them a second to come back on the line here. So, a lot of crazy things happening in the news, you know, with the politicians and clergy and everything else. What's the real point of all that is just letting us know that people are human, and that sometimes we and they get wrapped up in the roles and characters that they play, that they forget who they are, that they get this kind of power. And, you know, that one phrase that's out there where they say, you know, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And just very crazy. So we just have to learn from those people on how to be and how not to be, and then go with that, you know, sort of just take it for what it's worth, learn from that, you know, think about how it's sad or think how you're happy about that situation, and just keep going. And also know that if you are here, you're here for a reason, contrary to what you think it is or not. Now, it could be that you're here for a specific interaction with a specific individual at a specific time. When that happens, then you can sort of like coast the rest of your life. If that is what you signed on as a role for you to play, just coming here, influencing a single individual moment, situation in people's lives, like the bombers. You know, the Boston bombers, those people, I'm not going to name any names, but they signed on to come here and to be the people that they are and were and will be known in history. And then they're done. And it's sort of sad that these people came in with this life, as we see it, of course, for them to be the event and situation that they are, to influence and teach us how not to be. But we have to remember that we live many lives. We have past lives and future lives. We have lives as, you know, males, females, dogs, cats, hamsters, chiggers, mosquitoes, even flu viruses. Now, there is a chance, just take a second and think about this as a possibility. Because I did a reading for a client once where she was very concerned about her obsessive compulsive disorder, about always having to have everything clean and washing her hands every 5 minutes, whether she needed to or not, and was trying to figure that out. So that's where the past life information comes in. Sort of like if we look into the Akashic record of our past life, and I was doing that for her, that I saw that she was the sum total. She was the whole, W-H-O-L-E, of an entire seasonal flu outbreak. It could have been far worse, but my sources, Stacy was telling me that she was a part of some kind of contagion that happened that was only temporary. Now, why she chose to be this was because she wanted to experience humanity on an Uber experience of humanity. Not as a single individual who is like the milk delivery person or the person that takes your order at the restaurant, right, or the school teacher that you have for a semester. She wanted to experience all that sort of globally, sort of as a cloud, if you will, a cloud of experiences. And what she did was she was able to be in every individual who was suffering from the flu symptoms. You know, fever, achy, maybe a little, you know, nauseous. Because I'm remembering it, and other information is coming in as I'm talking about it. And she was able to experience humanity probably on the scale of maybe 100,000 or 200,000 people simultaneously through the occupation of her matter. And that's the contagion that was within the individuals who were suffering from the symptoms. So she got to experience humanity on that grand scale. But because she signed on to come here and experience that, she only saw the positive, being able to realize things consciously through the eyes and senses of 100,000 people, 500,000 people, however many. Imagine if you could access the minds and the memories of 100,000 people simultaneously. What you would know? Would you be able to cope with all that information coming into you? Because you look at yourself now, you got your sight, your hearing, your sense of smell, touch, feel, all that kind of stuff. And we're barely able to digest and comprehend this thing that we're feeling. You know, we're holding our car keys, we're listening to the radio or a song on our iPods or through iTunes or something. We're smelling somebody having a barbecue somewhere. Imagine having an awareness, a sensory awareness of simultaneous experiences that are on the scale of like 10,000 people. And they're all in barbecue mode, let's say, on a holiday in the summer, and that they're out cooking out. So you got some 10,000 people who are smelling the things that are being cooked on the grill. And boy, what a blur it would be. Because are they cooking chicken? Are they cooking pork? Are they cooking, you know, tomatoes? It's all blurred, blended together. So all you get is you don't get the signature scent of the tomato, of the pork chop, of the hamburger. You get the joy experience, like smelling something that you like that is being cooked and you will likely enjoy eating it. That frame of awareness that you have where you will likely enjoy eating it is the global experience of experiences. So enjoy eating, enjoy eating, enjoy eating, enjoy eating, and hearing that in the minds of 10,000 people can put you in a place of joy and happiness. And in the wintertime, if you have a global awareness of consciousness on the scale of 10,000, you know, sensory nodes, you know, each of us is a sensory node in that we're experiencing something at one time, and that we either share it empathically or tell someone who's close to us that we enjoy it or what we are enjoying or what we're experiencing. But to be able to sit in some place of consciousness that's like the center of the universe, of your universe, to where you realize the things that you sense, to do it on that epic scale would be overwhelming on a physical human level. And that's why we live as single individuals. Now, the people who are empathic out there pick up the moods and feelings of the people that are around them, because every one of us is like a mood radiator. We emanate our feelings, whether we realize it or not. And we do it through our auric field. And the auric field has a spectrum of light and also a spectrum of energy, like a magnetosphere, you know, a magnetic ball that goes around us, or magnetic envelope. And the Earth has the same thing, and that we emulate the Earth, that we have fire within us, we have earth, we have air, we have water, and our blood is the magma, as the planet has magma, and it's molten iron within the Earth, but within us, it's molten blood, and it's circulating iron. And, you know, look in any science textbook, and you will see that anytime that iron is being in motion or put in motion, that it creates a magnetic field. And when we start walking, we get our blood pumping. And when our blood is pumping, we generate that magnetic field that transmits our feelings and our intentions, whether we want it to or not. It just happens naturally. Now, if you're looking for a good example of a transmission of mood from a living organism, go and check out the cuttlefish, C-U-T-T-L-E-F-I-S-H. You can Google it or go and look it up in YouTube. I feel, in my opinion, from the experiences that I've realized by watching these fish, that I think that they are the most psychic of beings so far on record that I've been able to realize or discover. And that they emit through what are known as chromatophores their moods. And that their moods are reflected upon the environment that they are in, whether it be, you know, terrain kind of environment, like, you know, the physical environment around them, or the combative or emotional environment that is around them. So they blend in, or they make themselves very evident. So we communicate through our auric fields, whether we realize it or not. And the people who are empathic pick up the feelings. Now, we don't communicate in words. We communicate with imagery. We transmit the things and images that we are seeing in our minds to the environment that is around us. So if you're thinking about the conversation that you just had with somebody, whether it was confrontational or very enjoyable, you're seeing it as imagery, sort of like in the dreamscape, where you see pictures of that experience like a movie playing out in your mind. And that place that's in your mind, I refer to as the mind media player. It plays the songs from jingles and TV shows and movies that we have heard and watched that we can't get out of our head, and then it plays again and again and again. It also plays events that had an extreme or dire impact upon what influences the progress of our life, and that plays again and again and again. Whether it's you had an argument with somebody that you now regret, or that you accidentally spilled, let's say, tea on somebody and stained their jacket and feel horrid about that and wondering what the outcome of that will be, and that you play scenario potentials again and again and again in your mind about what the possible outcomes would be. As you are playing these images, you so influence the environment that is around you. Now, if you have an empathic person that is around you, while you're playing out some kind of mental drama that you experienced in the past, and if this empathic person doesn't realize that they are empathic or doesn't know what being an empath is, that they could end up picking up that drama that you are transmitting and that they sort of start echoing it. And what it does is it, your transmission of an actual physical experience that's playing in your head, activates a memory that they have that they had forgotten about. But because the emotional signature and the magnetic and the energy signature of the thing that you're thinking about is similar to a past memory that they have, then that activates that memory and it starts playing for them. And then they start becoming concerned about something that is old and has been put away and put to bed and no longer is an issue, but somehow they are worrying about it again. And they don't understand why. A practiced and an aware empath will realize that this was picked up by someone they happened to pass while they were walking, sitting, riding, or what have you, and that they dismiss it. Right? They just go ahead and park it. So we have a caller in the call queue. I'm going to go ahead and bring your up here. Hi, hello, how are you? You're hearing your microphone becoming unmuted. How can I help you?
I just wondered if you have any messages for me.
Sure. General message, I guess?
Yeah. General message is good.
Okay. All right. I don't know if you know, but I read with my own images that I design myself called the Horizon Oracle, and that you can go and see what they look like by going to my website, templeofgaia.com. But I'm seeing that you're in a situation right now to where it's a little challenging because I'm looking at the image for strength, and it talks about somebody who has expectations of you or will have. They want you to do something and that they might be a little critical of you because they want you to do it. They're sort of asking you to do it, but they're also going to be critical about how you do it as well, so whether it's a job or something. But I'm looking at the strength card, and it's associated with the time 719, and it shows an individual who's holding the handle to the paint bucket, but not really bringing the handle and the paint bucket all together, and the person they're interacting with has their hands on their hips, sort of frustrated that they didn't complete the task completely. So don't beat yourself up when this happens. There's going to be a situation to where someone maybe potentially is going to ask you to for help with something, and then you may not do it, you know, perfectly or something like that. And then they will ask you, well, why did you do it this way? Why did you do it that way? if they wanted it to be so perfect, they should have done it themselves. But they were going to gain something significantly by how you were able to cope with it. Are you with me so far?
Well, I don't know yet. I guess it's going to happen. Is it going to be a man or a woman?
I get that it's a male. Or that it could be a very masculine person. It could be a masculine female even as well. But the thing is that it will move you into a new level of respect and responsibility, because I'm looking at the upward mobile card as well. So it could be a task that will sort of flag you for being in a higher level of employment or possibly a management position if you're looking for that. So these are the people looking at you.
But how will that, how would that happen if I disappoint the other person in the task that they've given me?
It's how you cope with, it's not a complete disappointment. It's more of how you cope with trying to make the situation work out to the best of its possible outcome. It's how you manage that. Because having the two cards here working together, it's not, you know, the single thing where you failed at this and you're horrible and then you suck and why are you here and that kind of stuff. No. Have you ever heard, you know, are you a Star Trek follower at all?
Yeah, I used to follow it.
Okay. Have you ever heard of the Kobayashi Maru?
Yes.
Do you remember what that was?
It was a test that, and he basically found another way around solving the test. It was, no out, but he took an unprecedented move that, I think he rewired something and basically cheated, but not really, because he still succeeded.
Yes. Well, every Kobayashi Maru is supposed to be failed. It's how the person fails through the process is where they gain the recognition and the value.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
Yeah. And then with the upward mobile image, and it's associated with the time 9:45, and then you can go back and look these up, you know, after the show or in the archives if you want to. This talks about a potential for you to move up to a new level. And if you look at the image, it shows one of those, you know, like rope stairways where it's like this stairway that's suspended by ropes and it's just lowered for you to walk up. And then once you walk up, it closes back up again. It could be like one of those, you know, old-time airplane stairways, you know, where they would lower down and you got those little like ropes that hold everything there, and then when everybody's on board they pull it back up again, and that's them approaching you. So it's almost like you just have to go about your day, and when this invite to go and do this thing that you may fail at, but if you fail at it gracefully, they'll recognize that you have that quality, that likely you would not fail at things that were of a less extreme. And that's what they need. So it might be they might give you a maximum fail test so that if you fail that ultimate test gracefully, then all the others that are sub to that, you will succeed at. It's a little complicated, but that's how I see it right there for you.
Okay.
Are you working right now?
I am working on something. They threw me a curveball actually at work on something. And I have to work through it. So,
right.
And it's something that, it could be that situation that you're talking about. It's typically not something that you have to encounter in these type of environments. So it's something that they threw me that typically someone in my position wouldn't have to deal with. So that's possibly what you're talking about.
That's what it sounds like to me, too.
Yeah, and I have to deal with the fallout of this curveball they threw at me.
And if you work with it gracefully and maintain your dignity and don't let the emotions get run away to where you start doing the blame game or something, they might be looking for that. If you own it 100%, like playing the role of that governor in Georgia, you know, it's like, oh, I sucked at the snow removal. It was my fault. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I know what you mean. That's a possibility. I think that's probably what's going to happen.
So I can give you
a little more
information here. A little more information as I'm looking at the means card, M-E-A-N-S, and it's facing away from you also. And it's associated with the time 7:21, and it shows you working with somebody else or two individuals or two entities come together. They bring money together or resources together. They bring separate means together to expand the future a little bit. Because if you look at the image, it shows two people bringing like a monetary symbol together, and in the background there's a building that is expanding, growing, building. So it's possible, looking at this image right here, is that your organization that you're connected to could end up going through a restructuring or something, and that
I hope so.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's sort of like. Go ahead.
The situation is that I developed training, and I'm used to having a training database. So anytime you go in and you put supporting documentation, training IDs, everything, and I've been doing multiple projects for this company, and they won't invest in the training database. So I was just told a couple weeks ago that they're going to do a massive refresh of the computer system, which basically is going to wipe out all my previous training, supporting documentation, all my IDs, everything. And because they won't invest in a training database where they could just hit a button to refresh everything, I am now going to have to go back and redo everything for all my entire training. Yeah, so that's the curveball that they've thrown at me. And I'm not happy about it because from day one I've asked to have a training database, but they won't invest in it. They just won't do it. So it's something that to me is a big headache. And in order for me to keep on, it's really hard because I have all these other projects that I'm trying to make deadlines for, and now I have to go back and redo all my previous existing work to support training that's already out there in the field because I have, it's just a lot of work. And it's
sounds
really,
like it.
And it's bothering me because they don't support the training function in that company to the degree that they should. So I'm not even sure I really would want to be promoted and to end up permanently with this company because I'd rather be at a company that supports what I do entirely. But you said that you think there's going to be a means where they come together and they expand and reorganize maybe.
Yeah, is it a private company?
Yeah, it is.
They could end up becoming acquired or merge with another company, or they put the name merge on it or something. Because with the means card, especially with it facing away from us here in the reading, it talks about these things happening to individuals around us. So with this merger, that means new management, new ideas, fresh ideas potentially, but also a tightening of the belt as well. So going back to the upward mobile thing and the strength card, if you go in and that you are the rock star recreator of all the things that are necessary to make achievable things achieved, if you see what I'm saying, that
yeah,
they're going to see
yeah.
that they definitely should keep you around. And you just have to fake it that you really care, that, you know, that this thing works out. Because I'm looking at the posing card, and it's facing away. So it's really people wanting to see that you're ready to put on this new mask that shows that you are the rock star, trooper, yada, yada person who's going to be out there to make all this kind of stuff happen right. Now, the thing is by you doing that, they put their weight on you. It's sort of like they lean on you. You could potentially end up being a crutch to them because they know what they can expect from you because they've seen it happen before. So I say, I invite you to go in and build this entire thing. Rebuild it if you have to. Be a fiend. Be a machine if you have to. And go and create this thing to the best of your ability and make these people say wow to it. Because that will move you into a level with the upward mobile message to where you manage people who will be responsible for the maintenance once you complete it.
Has there been discussion around possibly promoting me at this point?
With the upward mobile message, absolutely. And that they will be looking at your talent. Because I'm looking at the 745 card, and it's the talent card. It shows you juggling three things with three arms. You have a unique ability that nobody else has, and that they need to keep that around. But the other side to that I'm seeing is that it could end up turning into like a 10-year project for you, because I'm looking at 717, the project card facing away as well. So this is something that you could potentially retire at if you want to, or get recognized by an outside company who sees your value and will dangle green bits in front of you to invite you to go over to their world and leave all this rest behind, as well as the baggage that's there. So you get new people, fresh ideas, better coffee in the kitchen, if you see what I'm saying.
Yeah. Do you have a time frame on when this is all going to happen?
Well, I read normally from like 90 seconds from now to like 90 days out. So you really could see it, I would say, over like the next month. You could see transitions start happening, if not starting next week, because it's a new month.
Okay.
They had to get, you know, W-2s and 1099s out of the way for the month of January, but now they can start focusing on the new year once February hits.
Okay, great. That sounds good. Thank you very much for the reading. Yeah. I appreciate it.
And when you find yourself stressed, you know, and worried about, oh, this thing or that thing or whatever, when you see the yellow Volkswagen Beetle, it's a message to stop worrying about this thing that you're thinking about when you see the yellow bug and to move on to the next thing that you're worrying about, or just relax and that everything's going to be fine. Sort of like a physical symbol that you see out there in the world. It's sort of like your fairy godmother or your guardian angel or something coming and telling you, oh, stop worrying about that. Everything's going to be okay. Yellow bug. Means
yellow bug.
A hug bug.
Okay, I'll look for those yellow bugs. Thank you.
And if you have a yellow bug, thank you for owning the yellow bug and being the symbol that everything is going to be okay for people in the world.
Well, I don't own one, but I will keep an eye out for them.
Well, I have friends who write for primetime television in Hollywood, and that they've taken my yellow bug message and wrote it into two of their shows. I don't know if you watch Grimm or Once Upon a Time, two of the characters drive yellow bugs in that show.
Oh, yeah, I do watch Once Upon a Time. So, yeah, I do.
Yes.
That's
so it's the blonde lady, lady, you know, the sheriff, she has the yellow bug?
Yeah. I forgot it was yellow, but I knew she drove a bug.
Yeah. Bug. Hug bug.
Well, thank you very much for the message. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye now.
Bye.
Yeah, so when you find yourself stressed, I'll just let everybody know, when you find yourself stressed and then you see the yellow bug, whether it's driving past you, parked in a parking lot, you see it on television. I've even seen it as a model on somebody's desk. who they, you know, they work in a cubicle or they live in a cubicle in some corporation somewhere. They had a yellow bug on their desk that's like, thank you for the hug bug. So yeah, the yellow bug, when you see it, is a hug bug, just letting you know that everything is going to be okay and move on and think about the next thing that you want to focus on. I once had a client tell me, she's like, Kevin, it's been a month and I've not seen any yellow bugs whatsoever. And she said she was thinking about calling me and telling me she hadn't seen the yellow bugs. And she was sitting on the couch holding the phone, but also holding the remote on the television. And as she was scanning channels, a Volkswagen commercial came on, and there was some 30, from what she said, yellow bugs racing around on the screen in the commercial. I don't know if it was that much, but she said 30, and it might have been an exaggeration, but yeah. She said, okay, I was worried about the yellow bugs, I didn't see them, and then boom, here they are, they showed up. And that's where the universe works with us. When we are worried about something, we create a gravity, and it goes back to what I was talking about before our caller called, is that we create a gravity or a magnetic field that draws things to us or repels things away from us. We can destroy things that are in our life. We can be self-destructive or self-promotive, depending on how we set our moods. And sometimes it's important to go have ice cream or go and splurge on something. You know, when the going gets tough, the tough go shopping or they go camping or hiking or fishing or skiing or, you know, they go shopping at flea markets, finding all kinds of interesting stuff that brings up memories, right? Find a way to change your mood. Now, when I was talking about being empathic and not knowing that you're empathic, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're in this horrible mood and that you don't know why, it's likely that something in your environment, whether it's animal, mineral, or vegetable, really, because everything has an auric glow to it. Anything that uses oxygen has a magnetic field, because when something is burning, you know there is chemical compositions that occur that cause magnetic fields. And if you want to see what I'm talking about, go and read the book, if you haven't already, The Celestine Prophecy by James Redfield, where they talk about the magnetic energy of all living things. So it's possible that you picked up some kind of negative magnetic impact upon your auric field, whether it's magnetic or light, and it adjusted you. And what you have to do is that you have to find a way, either through meditation or walking or exercise or jogging or eating. That's why a lot of us eat, is because we take in joy. We consume it because we can control the type of joy that we want to realize. We have no control over what comes in through our eyes to an extent and our ears, but we can control what we consume, what we eat. So are you eating a bowl of ice cream or are you eating a celery stick? And it's more likely, depending on what your likes are, is that you will enjoy the bowl of ice cream, unless you have some kind of allergic issue, far more than you would the celery stick, a bland, ordinary celery stick. There's something that is empowering by that, and I'll leave that up to you as to what goes into what the analysis is. But we can control our joy. I call it tongue joy, basically. It's like, is it ice cream? Is it pizza? Is it alcohol? Is it cigarettes? That's how we can control our joy. Now, the people who are heavy, who are excessively heavy, but are taking in this joy, and that they are using this joy to surround themselves with a happiness, or what they feel is a happiness. It's almost like, you know, the crawfish. I don't know if you've seen that they build these mounds and these towers to help protect their house and where they live. And heavy people who consume excessive amounts of joy material, whether it's bacon, ice cream, pizza, alcohol. I don't know if alcohol would really make somebody heavy, but this is a wall, a barrier that they put up around themselves, and that we all do it naturally. And it's okay that we do that naturally because it ebbs and flows, right? Sometimes we're feeling really good about our environment, that it sustains us through our primary active senses, which is hearing and sight. But there are other times where it's so bleak that we have to control and channel what kind of joy that we want to have when the other joys are missing. And usually in the wintertime, when all the life has gone away from the trees and the grass and the bushes and everything, and the birds are all hidden, there's no external flora and fauna activity, people suffer from what is clinically known as seasonal mood disorder. So when that happens, we are sort of forced to interact with the places that are active that will likely give us joy. And that's the people and individuals around us. And when that doesn't work, then we go to how we can make ourselves happy. And it's usually through the consuming of something. Whether it's watching a gazillion hours of video, you know, DVDs and movies, films, or it's eating. And a lot of us do gain weight over this time of the year. So how do you overcome that? Everybody's different. How you, you know, control the joy that comes into your life, you have to find a way to do that. And the best way to do that globally that I can offer to everybody is find a way to keep yourself busy. Do something like make something, paint something, sculpt something, compose something, start a book, start drawing things. You know, find something that you can do that gives you a completed object. Like, oh yeah, I just finished that. Like, cooking is one thing, but it goes back to the tongue joy thing. You know, you can improve your recipes if you want to, but that has a price, right? If it goes to an extreme. So find a way to channel your mood so you don't have to just have it come in and be managed by the things that you eat. Now, when you are exposed to other people that are around you who are emanating negative empathic imagery, that you have to find some way to counter that. So you can, like, that's where the mantras come in. I don't know if you know much about mantras. It's one to where you just say, I am happy, I am happy, I am happy. That's one. And then there's all kinds of, like, Hindu kinds of mantras and religious types of mantras that are out there depending on what fits with you. But I have mantras that I share with people. And the one that's coming to mind right now for me is the one where you just say, I want to be more comfortable than what I am right now. I want to be more comfortable than what I am right now. Don't say, I want to win $1 million, or I want this person to call me, or I want, you know, to go out and eat with somebody, or, you know, don't set a specific event that you feel is going to make you happy by saying, I want to be more comfortable than what I am right now. You invite the universe to send something positive to you. And I'm going to go to our next caller here. Hi, hello, how are you? You're talking to psychic medium Kevin Baird, and your mic is unmuted. How can I help you?
Yes. I was wondering what you saw for my husband's job coming up in the next, I don't know, 3 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like every time that things seem like they're going to be going well, then it kind of goes a different direction. So I don't know if he's doing some, if it's, you know, I don't know what he's doing that's...
wrong?
Wrong or right or whatever's mm-hmm. going on.
All right. What's his birthday?
4/30/54.
Okay. And do you know if he's into photography or anything like that? Or what's he doing with the camera or images, pictures,
no.
that kind of stuff? Okay. Okay. Well, what I see is that it seems like he might be making things bigger than what they are. And also that there's a move coming up for him, either as a group or as an individual. And that it looks like there's going to be some kind of writing project, WRITING, that will be given to him to do, or they'll ask him to write a report or do some research or something. And that will lead him into discovering something that he really wants to do. So it looks like he's going through a metamorphosis right now. You know, he was a caterpillar for a little bit. He's in his cocoon right now, thinking about where he wants his destiny to go. And then he's going to go through the metamorphosis and turn into, you know, someone who can really fly at what they do. So it's a dormant time right now for him. But I feel coming up later that he will, and later I mean by May, like on, I would say around May 12th or 13th, that he will be a much happier camper than what he is right now. So if he can just take steps to not do anything extreme until like the 12th of May, like 5/1/2, 5/12, just everything is in limbo right now.
So financially, what do you see for him in the next 3 or 4 months?
Okay, I'm looking at that. I am not seeing anything negative. So, if anything, it will, like, I see him connecting with people who present him with new opportunities, and that they will probably do things that will help continue his existence, if you see what I'm saying, financially or whatever. But it's definitely a waiting game. There's something that's taking place between May, like I was saying, May 12th, and really through like September 15th. There's that whole window of things that are going to be changing during that time. And that he's going to be sort of invited, or he's going to feel like he needs to demonstrate what risks he can take or how he's good at taking risks, because he's a professional at it that other people would not be able to. All this will be taking place. So is he working right now?
Yes.
Okay. It's likely that he could end up seeing a job change for himself or being bumped up into a new level of responsibility over the summer. And come Labor Day,
okay,
you'll be looking back and, wow, what a summer it has been.
Okay.
So I think Labor Day is like the second week in September or something. That's what I was getting for that.
Yes.
So normally I read for like 90 days, but because I'm looking at the waiting card, I work with my own images, and waiting is associated with the time 7/37, and it shows someone who's just hanging out in the front yard waiting for the crops to come in, you know, waiting for things to become mature.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I know.
I don't think I think he's too comfortable. What's the phrase? Do you have the eye of the tiger, you know, and are you closing, you know, the deal? Or are you just waiting for the business to come to you? I can't figure out what's going on because I'm not there. But it seems like he gets really close to having these great things happening, and then it just falls through. So I don't know if it's like a subconscious sabotage or if it's truly, you know, the universe isn't lining things up for him. It's just it's happened like too many times now.
Well, we're in a place right now where the sun is producing less magnetic events, and that means less magnetic energy for the Earth too. So people are going to be a little complacent and lackadaisical and not really too ambitious. That's sort of why our economy is in the place that it is, and that people aren't being motivated and you know, forward moving with the things that we're supposed to be doing. Because I don't know if you know much about electronics, that they're, you know, how they can pass energy from one side of the country to the next. It's called a sort of like air core transformers, or where a magnetic field can be induced upon another body, you know, like lightning strikes from the cloud to the ground kind of stuff without there having to be a wire.
Yes.
The sun does the same thing with all the planets that are in the solar system by it sending out its magnetic field, these little fingers like solar flares or sort of like lightning strikes coming out from the sun. Well, that's being reduced right now. We're having less and less of those right now. So all the planets that are around us are losing their power, basically, because the sun isn't as motivated as it had been. So this can be a good thing. It can be a bad thing. Nobody knows because no one was around for the last solar slowdown. So they don't know what to expect. And it typically happens about every 12,000 years. Like if you go back and look at history, you always find that the Atlanteans disappeared about 12,000 years ago, and then the Mesopotamians disappeared 12,000 years before that. So it happens in cycles. So some people out there feel like we're on that 12,000 year, you know, flip, and that the flip can be potentially where, you know, like all of our compasses point to the north. Well, if we have a magnetic flip, then all of our compasses will start pointing downward and to the south if that happens. And typically the sun does it every 11 years, but our planet Earth does it every 12,000 years. So if your husband has been sort of like just not ambitious, or things haven't really been on the upswing for like the last 11 years or roughly, I would say plan to see that start happening now, because the sun just flipped on an 11-year cycle. So something new is going to start beginning. Something new is going to start happening. So with, let's say, calamities, you know, we got Sandy, and then we got Katrina, and then we got the big snowstorms, and we got all this drama out there, that causes grief for some people, but it also produces jobs for other people. And with it getting colder, then we're going to have to start having more cold climate gear and equipment and food and how we survive during the cold times. So we're in an evolution right now, a revolution to where things are going to get better. So I would say, and we're short on time here, just let the summer happen, and then it will be in a better place. So if you can, sit on your hands, you know, and just ride it out. Know that everything's going to be okay. But I just want to let you know, as a closing thing here, just letting everybody know that my website is templeofgaia.com, or you can Google me, psychic medium Kevin Barrett, or go find my information on the show Marquee. And caller, what was your name?
Pearl.
Thanks for calling, Pearl, and I'm trying to be here every Friday morning henceforth.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. Hang in there, and we'll see everybody next week. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.